Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And you're asking the big question. You're asking the big question. Where will all of the housing inventory come from going forward? Now, you didn't know you're going to ask that question, but I did. So I'm going to give you the answer. It's going to come from various sources. And it may be coming from sources that you don't think are correct. See, a lot of you think that there is a impending doom out there, that the real estate market, it's just primed for failure. It is so close to being overblown that it's about ready to be overblown. And as a result, the bubble that it's created, it's about to burst. But I don't think that's true. I really don't think that's true. As a matter of fact, more and more articles that I read that lead me to believe that maybe there's a bubble out there, as soon as I get into those articles, I find out, no, they just wanted me to click on the article and start reading it. It was a teaser to get me into the article. But once I read the article, I find out, yeah, you know, it's what I thought it was. Nobody has any additional information that I don't already have in order to make an informed decision as to where the inventory will come from in the future. So one of the things Zillow did recently is they conducted a survey. Now, this survey, they do this thing apparently every quarter, and they do it in conjunction with another organization that actually works on putting the survey data out, and that company is called PulseNomics. And I think it's appropriate that we give them credit because they gave me some great information that I'm going to share with you today. And what they did was they went out and they talked to 100 what they consider real estate experts and economists from across the nation. And they asked them some very specific questions. They said, look, what are your thoughts on the expected home appreciation pricing over the next 5 years? Also, tell us what you think about the inventory and the state of the market once key pandemic era housing protections end. Those are the two things that they asked this panel, and they got some very straightforward results. As a matter of fact, I think the biggest result that came out of this thing is the fact that foreclosures are predicted. Now, again, I use the word predicted because all of this information is coming from a survey. Now, granted, I believe that Zillow went out and found some solid people that have some great experience in the marketplace. Maybe they study the marketplace. Maybe they operate in the marketplace. Maybe they do all these things together. But they're still opinions. Keep in mind, nobody has a crystal ball that works. It doesn't exist. So the information that I'm about to present to you, it is not fact. It is opinion. But it is opinion that has been massaged, so to speak. So in other words, you're not just getting like man on the street stuff like you would get if you went to one of those social media sites, and you know which ones I'm talking about. You're actually getting opinion that's qualified. And I think the most startling result is that all of these experts believe that only 5.4% of the future inventory in the housing market is going to come from foreclosures. And it's actually kind of good news. It really is. It's actually really good news. Because what that tells me is that people who own their own principal residences have done what they needed to do to maintain those resonances, even through the pandemic, even through periods where they may have been, you know, dealing with a loss of job, or they may have been dealing with health-related issues, or they may have been dealing with other kinds of financial influences on their life that created havoc in their lives. And maybe they had to go into forbearance. But the good news about forbearance is that a lot of people that went into forbearance have come out of forbearance. They have done the things that they've needed to do to remedy the situation that caused them to go into forbearance. And that's really a good thing, because what that means is that a lot of people are not going to get damaged. And some of you are thinking, wait a minute, Al, you're a real estate investor. You want housing prices to drop. You want them to drop, because when they drop, you can scoop in and get them for like 40 or 50 cents on the dollar. And I will admit to you, that is always in the back of my mind. That is always in the back of my mind. But I am not interested in seeing people damaged to get to that result. Now, that's not me. However, I will tell you this. There are people that go out and buy property to live in that really don't have a good plan to maintain that property. And they'll live in that property for a long period of time. And what tends to happen is that people will get into a property and they'll stay in that property. And if, you know, the job situation doesn't require them to move anywhere, they'll continue to live in that property and consume that property. And over time, as inflation occurs and their cost of living goes up, at least their mortgage is staying somewhat stable. Property taxes and insurance tend to go up a little bit over time, but that mortgage payment is probably stable, and therefore it's actually providing them the long-term affordable housing. Yeah, in comparison to what they could go out and acquire housing for. But that's not the point I want to make today. The point I want to make today is this, that the response given by these 100 individuals that have a pretty good sense of what potentially is going to go on into the market, they said that almost 40% of the inventory that will come on the market in the next 12 months will come from existing homeowners intent on buying a different home. That is good news. Stick around, I'll tell you why.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gains and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. All right. So in the last segment, I was telling you that the expected inventory of available houses that you can buy, whether you're choosing to buy it to live in it or you choose to buy it to invest in it. In other words, you buy it and you allow somebody else to live in it. Those numbers are out. Those numbers are out. And wow, I'll tell you what, the numbers that I'm seeing are probably different than what you were probably led to believe. And here's what I'm getting at. 39.7% of the future inventory is expected to come from existing homeowners intent on buying a different home. So in other words, people are starting to move up or move down or move laterally. I mean, people move laterally. And, you know, you're probably thinking, well, why would they move laterally? Well, maybe they, you know, live in Chicago, Illinois, and they just took a job transfer to Tampa Bay, Florida. So as a result, that would be kind of a lateral move. They may increase their pricing, they may reduce their pricing, or it just might be a lateral move. Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. But that's a bigger number than what we saw through the pandemic. It is a bigger number. And the other thing that we thought was going to come out of this pandemic, I mean, everybody's been talking about it, right? Is record numbers of foreclosures. Now, these experts that were polled by Zillow, they believe that foreclosures will occur. As a matter of fact, they believe 5.4% of the available housing stock will come from foreclosures, which is a radically low number, in my opinion. Yeah, it's a radically low number, and I don't think they're wrong. That's not my point. I just think that we have been set up for a much bigger number. Yeah, we have been set up for a much bigger number, and that bigger number has not materialized, and that's okay. It is totally okay. And I probably have you all confused right now because, you know, you're thinking, wait a minute, buy low, sell high. That's the American way. That's how we do business, right? Yeah, that is how we do business. We buy low, we sell high. But you don't have to have massive depressions in the market in order to buy low. Let me get to what I'm thinking about, and let's see if you shared the thought. If you had bought a house, let's say a year ago, and the market was kind of on fire a year ago. It really was. I mean, prices were going up. We were still in the middle of the pandemic. We, you know, a lot of people were sitting on the sidelines, not sure of what they would do, figuring, okay, you know, I was planning to move, but I'm going to stay in this house, and I'm just going to live my life out here and get through the pandemic, and things will be okay, right? Right? You saw that. But houses that were purchased a year ago have already appreciated. They have gone up in value, and it has to do with that scarcity of inventory out there. It has to do with that scarcity of inventory. That was part of what was driving pricing up last year and into this year. It's the fact that there was no inventory in the marketplace to transact, yet there was demand for that inventory. And trust me, investors do not make up the bulk of the marketplace. They don't. We make up a portion of the marketplace, but we don't control the entire marketplace. And even if I own homes, which I do, that I let other people rent, which I do, I'm not necessarily putting those properties on the market because each of those properties has a specific plan in place and certain financial targets that I expect to meet before I dispose of those properties. And all those properties, basically, I have what I consider a five-year lifespan on them. You're wondering, okay, what is that? What do you mean a five-year lifespan on those properties? Are you mean they're going to like blow up in 5 years? No. No, what I did was I went into these properties knowing that some things are going to be just fine. And some things, they're not going to be just fine. And other things, they're going to look like they're just fine, but they may not have a lifespan of 5 years. So those things that are not fine and those things that won't last 5 years, I address. I take a look at what is required to get them to a 5 year or more lifespan, and I calculate a number for that to repair or replace that item. And when it's all done, I've got a punch list, if you will, of all the things that need to be done to the property so that when I put that property onto the market, the person that rents it is not going to be bothered by having stuff break on them. Now, does it bulletproof the property? No, nothing is bulletproof. Nothing is bulletproof. But I will tell you this, when something does break, chances are the resident broke it. And if that's the case, it's in my lease that they're responsible to replace it. But if they didn't break it and there's an issue, for instance, in one of my houses, there was an issue with the air conditioning system not cooling effectively. All right, well, you know what? We thought the air conditioning was good to go. We had it tested, but at the end of the day, the AC failed. And what did it need? Well, it just needed somebody that knew what they were doing with air conditioning, and that's not me, to go out to the property and give it a little bit of that R410 Freon, get it topped up, and it's running great. And that is the only issue that resident has had in my property in the last year. And it's an issue that we couldn't forecast, but it's an issue that occurred. But my point is this, it's the only issue that occurred in that property in the past year. And it wasn't the resident's fault. No, it was the system's fault, and therefore it was my responsibility to take care of it. And I did that immediately. So my point that I'm trying to get you to is this. These properties are in good shape. They're in really good shape. They have every potential to make it the next, 4 years and do just fine. So what am I doing? Well, I'm tracking financial targets because I had certain expectations for what I wanted these properties to do for me, and they are doing it. They're providing me cash flow, which is number one, is the most important thing. Yeah, if your investments are not providing you cash flow on a monthly or quarterly basis, what you're doing is ineffective and you need to change what you're doing. The other thing these properties are doing is they're actually doing real well as far as going up in value because I've been tracking the valuation on these properties. And to let you know how things are actually doing, I've got a spreadsheet that I track that tells me what the value of my properties are. Well, I'll just give you some insight on the numbers I'm looking at. So one of the properties, I paid $174 for it. Okay, and I have a target projection on that property. I want it to get to, say, $220,000 at the end of 5 years, and that's when I intend to sell it. Now, ironically, this property is already worth in the marketplace about $220,000. That's what the market has been doing because of the constraint in inventory. And I think that pricing is going to stay solid because I'm not seeing anything that's telling me that we're going to get a glut of properties on the market. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to get back into this Yahoo, it was Zillow. I'm going to get into the Zillow report. Stick around.
The other thing I think people hear landlord or property owner, and they think of Donald Trump and other multi-billionaires that own real estate, and that's not who the vast majority of owners across the nation are. The typical owner of a rental property owns just a couple properties, and they're people just like me and you.
You can own single-family houses and apartments too. We'll show you how. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Join our national network of rental owners.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right, since we're talking about Zillow and I'm using their information, I decided to go ahead and take a look at one of the properties that I own, the one I was telling you about in the last segment, to see what Zillow thinks that property might be worth. And you know what? They came up with their Zestimate. That's what they call it, a Zestimate. And they think it's worth $216,900. Not bad, huh? When you consider that I paid $174,000 for this property not too long ago. Yeah, less than a year ago. That is what the market is doing. Now, I will be very upfront and honest with you and tell you that this particular property was acquired through a 1031 exchange. What that means is I had another property somewhere else. It was actually in Kansas. It was a duplex, something that I owned for a very long time, and I sold it. I saw that market conditions were improving in 2020, even though we were still in lockdown, And I decided that it was an excellent opportunity for me and my spouse, Tina, to sell those properties, because all of a sudden we had seen pricing elevations that we really hadn't seen in that area. And if you know anything about duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes, they don't tend to appreciate in value. They just tend to be like cash flowing machines. And that's kind of what we had eventually turned these things into after we become members of Lifestyles Unlimited, because before we had become members, they weren't cash flowing machines because we really didn't know what we were doing. No, we didn't. Once we turned them into cash flowing machines, things were better financially for us, much better. And at the end of 2020, we decided to sell all of our duplexes that we own, and we traded each duplex for a single family house in the greater San Antonio market. Now, this particular property is just one of those properties that we acquired, and I paid, I'll just tell you exactly what I paid for it. I paid $174,048. I have no idea how we got to the $48, but that's the number the seller and I agreed upon. Now, this particular property was owned by a fellow Lifestyles Unlimited member, and he was seeing valuation increases occur too. And he, like me, realized that this was a good opportunity for him to exit that property because it had met some financial targets that he had set for it. Yes. And as a result, he sold the property to me. Now, I did not personally go in and do all the rehab work on this property like I would normally do with a Lifestyles Unlimited buy. Because I was coming out of a 1031 exchange, I needed to act kind of fast. And because I didn't have a lot of flexibility on the type of assets that I could buy, I really needed something that was ready to go. So my opportunities were go out and buy new construction, which was, I mean, it was out there. I could go do that, or team up with another Lifestyles Unlimited member and make it win-win. And that's what we chose to do. So the seller walked away with a good chunk of change. He had owned the property long enough to qualify for him just normal capital gains taxes. Oh, wait a minute. He did a 1031 exchange too, so he didn't pay any taxes going out of that deal. So I get into the deal. I take over operations of the property because he did things the way I would do things. It was really a seamless transition. It was very seamless. As a matter of fact, the residents that live in all the properties, they really didn't know that there was a change in ownership other than the fact they got a letter from me saying, hey, by the way, you got to pay me rent. And to be honest with you, all of them called the other guy and said, hey, man, is this legit? Do we got to pay this guy rent? And he's like, yeah, you got to pay him rent. I sold him the property. So, I mean, they're great residents. They're great residents. But this one particular property, actually, all of them are doing very well. But let me just talk about this one particular property that I paid $174,048 for. When the appraisal was done on the property itself appraised for $185,000. So what that gave me was some additional equity in the property of almost $11,000. Yeah, the other member decided that he wasn't going to try and get full maximum price for the property. He wanted to leave a little meat on the bone, and I was cool with that. I appreciated that. So I walked into the deal capturing about $11,000 worth of equity. But I also went into the deal with about $35,000 of equity that I was moving across. So at that point, I'm looking at what, about $46,000 worth of equity in this particular property. And I had set price targets for this property. I said I wanted to see this property to get to $220,000. And that was based on a 3.5% increase in value, because that's how I factor all my future values of property, because not everything goes up more than 3.5% every year. Now, it's been a little different the last year and a half. It's been a lot different the last year and a half. But I still use my same conservative guidelines because they work. They work for me. So now I'm looking at the fact that I expected this property to be worth potentially $220,000 at the 5-year mark. And I'm not even at the 1-year mark yet. And Zillow's telling me my property's worth $216,900. Now, in fairness, Zillow is not an appraisal service. Zillow does not necessarily go out and look at comparable homes specifically that have sold in comparison to mine and made adjustments for, you know, features and other things like that. Now, Zillow just kind of gives me a snapshot. And along with their Zestimate, they also give you what they consider a range, which is a pretty broad range. So when they tell me what the range is, they're saying it's $202,000 to $230,000. And so, you know, 216.7 is kind of like right in the middle, right? So my property could only be worth maybe $202,000, or it could be worth up to $230,000. Not quite sure. The best way to find out is to actually do a little market research. Yeah, just do a little market research. Zillow will give you an idea, but your real estate agent that you have a relationship with will give you better data. See, the real estate agent can go in and actually pull up comps for your property that meet all the acid tests that an appraiser would use. You know, did the property sell within the last 9 months? Was it located within a certain geographical range of the property? What about square footages? And then you can go in and you can make adjustments based on features that you might have. Like maybe you've got a 2-car garage and another property that sold only had a 1-car garage. So you can make adjustments. But here's the thing, and this is going to tie back into what I was talking about in the first segment. I'm not interested in selling this property yet. I'm not. And here's why. There are actually two financial targets that I have on this property. The first one has to do with cash flow. Yeah, cash flow on the property. And this particular property produces for me over $400 a month in cash flow. Yeah. So over time, I have an expectation that this property will continue to produce that cash flow for me. And what I'm looking at is a 5-year projection of about $21,000 in cash flow. So what I need to do is I need to figure out, okay, do I revise my exit strategy? And do I become like some people that have made a decision to go onto the marketplace and actually sell their investment properties? You see, Zillow believes that 12.2% of all the inventory that's going to come out in the next 12 months will come from landlords and investors listing their rental properties for sale, which is an increase over the last 12 months. Okay, we come back from the break. I'm going to get back into the stats, and we're going to tile this in a beautiful bow. I promise.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a part of Lifestyles Unlimited? Del Walmsley tells you what to expect when you join us for the next live online free workshop.
We've been here for 30 years. Over 30 years, we've had and or do have roughly 50,000 plus members all over the United States. We have retired tens of thousands of people, and it's just incredible what you're going to find that you're going to be in here. Not only are you going to find the greatest amount of information and education, you're going to find the people, the most open people you've ever met in your entire life.
Come meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited who will help you change your life and empower you to stop depending on a paycheck, your 401k, IRA, or Social Security for your future. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. At the free workshop, we'll teach you the 5 ways to make money with real estate, cash flow, equity capture, appreciation, equity buildup, and the tax advantages. Like Dell says, we'll open our books and show you how the numbers work with both single family and multifamily case studies. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Warning. Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so I'm looking at a different source. I'm looking at Y charts, and I just was curious as to how the existing inventory of homes are today in comparison to maybe, I don't know, let's go back 5 years. So why charts? Well, they gave me the data I was looking for. And essentially what I'm looking at is housing, or I should say existing home inventory. So this is anything that would be available for sale that is not new construction. In other words, somebody's already bought it, they've used it, and now they're putting it back up for sale. It's resale, right? 1.29 million properties available for sale in August of 2021. I mean, that sounds like a lot of houses, right? That 1.29 million houses. That's a lot of houses. But there are 350 million of us in this country. As a matter of fact, if you look at what the inventory was doing at the beginning of the year, it wasn't doing so good. As a matter of fact, it kind of dropped to an all-time low, at least based on the stat that I'm looking at, in January of only 1.03 million. Now, you compare that going all the way back 5 years ago, and there were well over 2 million homes available for sale in September of 2016. So the trend line has been going down over time, and it's been very minimal. It's really been a minimal drop until we got to the pandemic, and then it was a significant drop. And then after we had the significant drop, it was another significant drop. And now we're kind of trying to come back out of it, but we haven't even gotten to the lows that we achieved in 2020 or years prior to that. So there's a massive constraint on the inventory. And in spite of the fact that there are not very many properties available for sale, people want to buy properties. There is demand for properties. So where's the inventory going to come from? Well, Zillow thinks that about 40% of it's going to come from people that live in their own homes, that are consuming those homes. They will make a decision to sell that house and buy a different house. So essentially, they're going to transact a property and they're going to buy another property. Okay. So really, that doesn't add any new inventory to our market, does it? Because we're just kind of trading property. But then you have new construction. Now, new housing starts have been down. As a matter of fact, all the reports I keep reading indicate that new housing starts aren't as great as they should be. But Zillow and the experts that they polled believe that new housing starts will produce about 22.5% of the inventory in the coming 12 months. So that's actually good news that there is additional product coming into the marketplace. Now, 12.2%, again, will be landlords like myself and other investors that are listing their properties for sale. Now, if I sell those houses, I don't intend to replace them with other houses. I will let that inventory go because my strategic plan says that when I sell those houses, I'm going to use the proceeds from those houses to invest in multifamily. So I'm going to switch away from the single family market, and I'm going to go full in on the multifamily market. 9.6% are coming from existing homeowners intent on renting. In other words, these are people that will sell their houses and they will never buy another one again, at least not for the near term. They've made a decision to rent where they live instead of buy where they rent. And there's a lot of reasons why people do that. First of all, when you rent something, you pretty much have a fixed price and you have somebody who has responsibility to take care of all the ongoing systems in the property. So, you know, if the roof goes bad, it's not your problem as the resident per se. Hopefully you've got renter's insurance. You need to have renter's insurance if you're renting and you don't have it. You need to go get that. It's very cheap, by the way. Whereas the homeowner would have to pay for all of that. And hopefully they've got the right insurance products in place to help them do that. And sometimes, you know, it could be people that are elderly. They've owned their property for a long time. They've made great memories there. And now maybe it's time to go live in a different type of environment that is more suitable to somebody who wants to rent that environment as opposed to somebody who wants to buy that environment. 8.6% of the inventory is expected to come from existing homeowners who list their second homes for sale. Now, all of you people that think that second home is an investment, it's not. It doesn't pay you anything. You pay for it every month. Even if you don't have a mortgage, you still have responsibility for property, taxes, and insurance, and maybe you even have an HOA that you have to pay for. So that thing's not free. Now, it might be going up in value, but it's not paying you any money every month. And that is a vital component to correctly investing. See, having both of these elements in play is what helps you get to the place you're trying to get to. So 8.6% of the inventory is going to come from people that go, you know what? I really just don't need this second home. I don't take advantage of it. It's just sitting there. Let's sell it. Let's go buy apartments instead. 7.2% comes from other. They just called it other. 5.5% will come from older homers passing away. Yes, people do pass away. It's going to happen to all of us eventually. And maybe that property needs to go into probate or estate or wherever it goes, and it will be disposed of. And that leaves us with that final figure of only 5.4% of the available inventory coming from actual foreclosures. It is the lowest populated number on this entire report. Do not, and I'm going to repeat this again, do not sit on your laurels waiting for something that may never happen to happen. The point I've been trying to make to you today is that if foreclosures fall into the marketplace, if all of a sudden foreclosures become more mainstay than what Zillow's experts believe they will be, it will provide a buying opportunity for those of us that understand how to correctly invest in real estate. But we are not going to just sit around and wait for that to happen. See, when you understand how to invest in real estate, you understand that you can make money in up markets and you can make money in down markets. This is an up market right now. This is an up market. And I just told you the results that I received by investing in an up market. You can make money in today's market. And the other thing you need to take away from all this information is that investing today is going to be just fine. The numbers still work. Now, the numbers aren't necessarily as great as they were pre-pandemic. And I can't change that. But they're still great. They're still great. You can still deploy your capital into real estate. You can still earn cash flow. You can still obtain appreciation. You still can obtain principal pay down. You still can obtain all of the tax advantages. It's all there. And you can still capture equity when you buy distressed properties correctly. Distressed properties are still in the marketplace. They are still out there. People are buying them today as we speak. If you're afraid of the bottom dropping out, if you're one of those people that says, yeah, okay, I'm listening to what you're saying, Al, but here's the thing. What if that property that you think is worth $217,000 today, what if it tanks? What if it's only worth $150,000? Okay, no problem. No problem. Because it's still providing me cash flow. Remember, I told you there were two target numbers that I look at when I'm analyzing my assets. I look at the cash flow that it produces. I look at the appreciation that I garner. And when I compare those two numbers together, I make a decision as to whether that asset has achieved the investing goal that I set for it. And it's okay to go back and reevaluate along the way. Because if you have an asset that, hits a five-year goal at year two, it's okay to release that asset. Because what you've proven to me is that you kind of know what you're doing, and you could probably go buy two assets to replace that one you got rid of. Because that is how we make money in real estate. We find assets that provide excellent opportunities for us to change our lives. Along that line, not only do they provide excellent opportunities for us to change our lives, they provide opportunities for us to completely shift away from what we've been doing for so long into what we're doing now, which is called retirement. And if you want to find out how to do this, go to LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit LifestylesUnlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.